Hello, St. Paul, and welcome to our online worship service this morning. In just a few moments, we'll join our worship service in our sanctuary. But before we do, I want you to know how grateful we are that you are worshiping with us today. No matter where you are right now, it's a wonderful thought to think that we'll all be worshiping together. Worship is what we do together. It's an attitude, it's an activity designed to recognize and describe the worth of our God. It's an opportunity for us to gather together with one another and be reminded of who God is and be reminded of who we are. And although we may not be in this same room this morning, what we experience over the next hour, we'll be experiencing together. We're honored to have the Reverend Buddy Cooper give the sermon this morning. Buddy's sermon today is entitled, The Memorable Moments Jesus Takes Jerusalem. And our scripture passage is from John chapter 12, 24 through 33. So grab your Bible and your notebook and let's prepare our hearts for worship together. Let's now join the worship service in progress in our sanctuary this morning.
So at Rose Hill are in need of short sleeve men's shirts, all sizes. If you want to drop them off at the church office, we'll make sure that they are delivered. The daycare house at True Spring that we helped renovate is almost finished and the rooms need supplies. You can check your bulletins for the list of supplies that are needed. All donations can be dropped off at the church office. Winton Neighborhood Network hopes to add one Saturday a month to give food assistance to those in need. You can contact Mary Lou Gerald for more information or to volunteer. The flowers on the sanctuary altar today are given to the glory of God and in loving honor of the St. Paul family. Please find the yellow card in your bulletin which allows you to register your attendance. Please take a moment to fill it out, either leave it in your seat at the end of the worship service or put it in the urns as you leave. If you prefer to register online, you can use the QR code on your phone. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship. Please stand as you are able and join in the singing of our hymn of celebration, number 496. Please remain standing as we unite in the historic confession of the Christian Church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascendeth into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your hearts for prayer.
Holy Father, we are your children, and we know the wonderful secret of your love for us and for everyone. Help us to share that love to a world that does not know you. Help us to find in our heart the compassion for those who are less and without. Lord, you have taught us many things, and in teaching us through adversity, you have shown us that you are present and that you are sufficient. May we arise, may we arise as a people to report to you the fact that we are carrying your name to the whole world. Holy Father, bless those who are suffering. Give strength and courage to those who are enduring. And Lord, to us who are praying, may we pray with an open heart, not to escape that which you've called us to be, but to embrace who we are, to become who you see us being, and to faithfully live in your world as your servant. For you are the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join in our hymn of preparation, number 420. Please remain standing for our scripture reading for today, John 12, 24 through 33. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thank you, Wayne, Sue, and the choir. It's beautiful. Today, the passage read to you comes after Palm Sunday. Jesus has entered Jerusalem. The religious teachers of the day had said, look, the whole world's going after him. What can we do? And there, right before this passage, some Greeks who had come also to Jerusalem came to Philip. And they said to him, sir, we would see Jesus. And he said, well, come, I'll show you. And so they come. And Jesus gives this very short parable. This is his inaugural address in Jerusalem. This is his final word in Jerusalem. This encompasses the gospel and obedience. So you have Jesus going in. Something that had never been done before. No king, except one anointed on earth by one of the prophets, had ever gone to Jerusalem. No king had gone of his own volition. Herod thought he might try to sneak into town, and so he sent word to find out when he was coming, And Jesus said, you tell that fox, Herod, that 2 days, maybe 3 days, and then I'll be there, and I'm coming through the Golden Gate. I'm not coming in at night. I'm coming through the center of the city. So he was coming. There was no fear in him. This series I'm doing this summer is on the memorable events or moments of Jesus' life, and this was one of them. This parable of the seed is one that goes to the heart of everything Jesus tried to teach us. He said, if a seed doesn't fall to the ground and die, then it's just a seed. Nothing happens. But if it falls to the ground and dies, then it is multiplied. I wrote a short free verse about the secret of the seed a few years back. I call it free verse because it doesn't rhyme, not because I can think of words that rhyme. So it might not be free verse even, but it doesn't rhyme. But it's from the seed's perspective. It's what did the seed experience? And then we're going to put ourselves in this context. What do you experience when Jesus says to you, unless the seed falls to the ground and dies? This is from the point of view of a seed. Here I am at the top of a stalk. I can see forever, the sun in my face, the wind at my side. This must be eternity. What is this? My stalk is slain by a huge, unimaginable thing. I'm fallen with it, lying where he once stood. Cut off from my source of life, the earth, I die. Wait, I'm being beaten from my stalk. For what purpose? Now it's finished. I and 1,000 like me are drying in the once nurturing sun, and time passes. We're being gathered up in the dark. Time has stopped. Is this all there is to my life, to thousands of our lives? And more time passes. Then light, hands rummaging through us, gathering us, selecting us, preparing us. Why am I feeling joy? Buried again in the ground this time. Alone. What's happening to me? I'm changing, transforming. I don't recognize myself. As I rise through the soil to the light, look, hundreds of me growing from what I have become. Lord, help me understand before I die what I have become. Lord, help me to understand before I die what I have become. A seed becomes a stalk. A seed who is individual and buried in the ground, then all of a sudden begins to push through the soil. And as he sees himself, he says, there are hundreds of me on what I have become. What have I become? Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, those whom Jesus calls, he bids come and die. You and I must be born again. Jesus told this to Nicodemus in the third chapter. We're in the 12th chapter. You go back to the third chapter. Nicodemus, one of the great teachers of Israel, came at night. Didn't want anybody to know he came to see Jesus. And he starts talking to him and he says, no one can do the things you do without being in favor with God. Who are you? Tell me about yourself. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus takes the concrete approach. He says, you can't go back into your mother's womb and be born again. What are you talking about? And he says, I am surprised, Nicodemus. You're one of the teachers of Israel, and you do not understand that who you are is not enough. You do not understand that you're but a seed to be planted in the earth. You must be born again, the first time of water, the second time of spirit. And Nicodemus didn't understand, but at least he didn't go in the middle of the day where everybody could see him, so he didn't have to tell anybody he didn't understand. He just kind of slipped away into the night. We'll see him again in the story of Jesus. But these Greeks, Jesus is there. He's befuddling everybody. They are worried about him, what he might do. They come to find him. They go to Philip and said, sir, we would see Jesus. Some of the great sermons of the world were written on that text. You've got some by Bishop Arthur Moore. You've got some by McLaren. Sir, we'd see Jesus. They weren't afraid. And he said, come with me. And so when they see Jesus, he tells this parable. This parable, did you listen to this parable? My free verse just tries to gather up for you what it means. No matter who I am, God is trying to create within me something new, something other than what I am. None of us are the capstone, the final word in our life. As long as we live, we're growing. The old saying, green and growing, okay? When you stop growing, you're not growing anymore. Green and growing. We are supposed to become something in the kingdom of God. It's supposed to be something kind of like a seed, where if a seed is loved and cared for and sorted out, and this is going to be the seed grain that we're going to plant for next year's harvest, then that seed, the confidence, put it in the ground, it's going to come back 30, 50, 100-fold. So God's purpose for you and for me is not that we make it, but that we bring some folks with us. Most graphic example I can give you of that is from Laos. Back after the Vietnam War had ended, the missionaries were in Laos, and they were over there, and a doctor came with a team, and he was doing cataract surgery. Cataract surgery, which is routine here, it was unheard of there, and so they were qualifying people who were blind, and many, many of them had cataracts. So they would come, he would treat them, remove the cataract, put the lens in. It was like a miracle. They could see. And one day, as they were opening up the clinic, getting ready, there was a man standing out in front of the clinic, and he had a rope in his hand. And on that rope was 350 people who were blind. And he said to the doctor, do for them what you did for me. Now, some of them had cataracts, and he could do something for them. Some had gone blind in ways that couldn't be restored. But that person captured what Jesus is saying. He said, you got to be a seed for others. You've got to become a stalk. It's not about how much you can inhale, but how much can you bring with you? Who's coming with you? This man, he had had cataracts removed, a simple man of Asia. He didn't know what that meant, but he knew he was blind and now he could see. Very similar to the story Jesus told where the man, they said, he didn't make you well. He didn't make you healed. Give God the glory. He said, all I know is I was blind and now I can see. And this is a man who put his hands on my eyes and they ran him away. Jesus calls us to be buried in a positive way. Now, he says in this 25th verse a lot of things. He says, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. You know, we think about the best day we ever had, the best time we ever had, and I'm not talking about trivial things. I mean, the day you got married, the day your children were born, the day your grandchildren were born. I mean, the best days of your life. And you say, if I could just hold on to that, if every day could just be like that, but it can't. There is no best day. There's just our life. And we say, well, I don't want my life to change. You have to let go and let God. The little story about the man who slipped off the cliff, he's hanging onto a root from a tree up there. An angel appeared to him and said, I've come to save you. He said, thank God. He said, let go. He said, anybody else up there? I'm going to hold this root long as I can hold this root. I ain't letting go. God always says, let go. The world wants to see you and see me let go. No one pays money at the circus to go see the man swing on the trapeze. They pay to see him let go and try desperately to grab the one swinging toward him. That's what they pay to see. Jesus said, let go and let God. But if you let go, if you're reckless in your love, miracles can happen. If you're reckless in your love, that's the Message translation of a portion of this chapter. Be reckless in your love. Jesus said about his life, I am going to lay down my life. This is the 10th chapter of John. No man's going to take it from me, but I will lay it down because the Father has said, if I lay it down, I can take it up again. And I trust my Father with my own life. He said that. When we talk about being something you've never been and how that we are seed and we're going to become a stalk, whatever that means in my life or yours is certainly different from a seed. How do we go about that? What's the purpose of that? Jesus Christ had an opportunity to deny himself and take up his cross and die upon it. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all people unto me. You can think of a stalk coming up out of the ground and all the grain that's on it being lifted up with it. Jesus said, if I am buried in the ground, then I will rise and I will draw all mankind up unto me. I'll do this. But Jesus had something to face that he had never faced. See, we think about our life and we think, well, I've got to face some things that I'm not sure of. Jesus was offered the possibility of being separated from God. He was offered in the mystery of the Trinity the privilege of saying, may the sins of the whole world be put upon me. He who knew no sin said, I'm willing to become sin and die for you so that you who are sinful can be redeemed. But he didn't know what that meant fully. So you find him in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not thy will, not my will, but thy will be done. But let this cup pass from me. He wasn't scared of dying. To say he was scared of dying would make him less than many of our heroes. Many of the men and women who ran toward the fire, ran toward the buildings, who run under fire protecting us, those are heroes. Jesus wasn't scared of dying. He didn't know what it would be to have sin put upon him. He who knew no sin was being offered the privilege of becoming sin for us. And so you have Jesus. Understand that unless he's buried in the ground, unless he gives his life, there'll be no increase, there'll be no newness. I'm coming to you. You do not have to come to me. The Father says, I am sending him. You don't have to go looking for him. You will have a life forever, real and eternal. That's what he says to us as we face our life and we say, Lord, thy will be done. I love the passage that Tim read to you. I love where it says, and the people were standing there and they saw this, and one of them said, I think it thundered. Another one said, I think God spoke to him. And Jesus said, you're right, both of you are right. God has spoken, and this is what's going to be. And this is an example of how I'll be lifted up. What a marvelous passage. What a marvelous teaching. That our life, no matter where we are today, is still a seed. If you and I are still alive, we're still a seed. What you can become, what God wants you to become, it might not have been revealed, but it's going to happen. So now Jesus gives some commentary starting with the 26th verse. And you can look on your insert in the bulletin. You can follow me. He said, do you want to serve me? Then follow me. Follow me. Where are you going? I'm going to Jerusalem. Where are you going? I'm going to be taken. I'm going to be crucified. And I'm going to be resurrected. Because he told that too. And they said, wow, okay. And so in the 26th chapter of Matthew, the 56th verse, Matthew dutifully records in truth, they all forsook him and fled. They believed he was going there. They kind of believed they knew he was going to die. They kind of believed he was going to be resurrected, but they knew they were not going to follow him at that time. You want to be where I am? Then be ready at a moment's notice. There are many insignias in the world for the church. United Methodism has one, Baptist Church has one, Episcopal Church. They're all connotative of what we are. They try to give a picture of it. There's one from the Congo Missionary Society that shows an ox, and he's there face on. And on one side is an altar, and on the other side is a plow. And the motto for the Congolese Missionary Society is, ready for either. Ready to be sacrificed on an altar, ready to pull the plow. Whichever one God needs for that ox to be, that's what he's ready for. And that's what they're saying about us. Jesus said, don't cling so clearly and dearly to this life. Give your life. Let someone have your life. Pour yourself out. Let yourself become buried that you might come again. I'd give credit if I knew who wrote the prose, but a lady wrote, and it's a beautiful thing. She wrote a story about children, but she said in that story, she said, 25 years ago, I disappeared from the world into my children, and now I have appeared again, both with them and in them. It's true of us. We pour our lives into our children, and we die for them in a thousand different ways. And having done that, we say, this is good. This is right. We should decrease and they should increase. And eventually we should hand them off to God in a way that's wonderful and precious. Jesus' motto was stand and deliver. The Greeks came and said, sir, we'd see Jesus. They said, you want to see Jesus? Can you stand that? Can you see him? We want to see him. They said, we're going to let you see him. And they brought him right to him. And he said, here's what's fixing to happen. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to lay it down, and I'm going to receive it back. But when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He draws all men and women unto himself. There's no one he doesn't draw. We spend too much time arguing about how good a vader of God we are, instead of thinking and focusing on how good a pursuer of us he is. There's a poem called The Hounds of Heaven. It talks about being chased by the hounds of heaven. It's just talking about being chased by the love of God. You can run, but you can't hide. You can run for a long time, but you can't get away. Eventually, you will have to deny Christ or embrace him. It won't go that something happened over on 3rd Street and 4th and you weren't there, and that's the reason you missed out. You will have to step on his shoulder and jump over the cross going down the backside to get away from him. You have to go through his face because he's going to pursue us. He's going to be there for us. At the end of annual conference, we always, in the journal, they write, sine diem. I said, you know, why do we put that little Latin phrase there? They said, that says that everything that was done in order. I said, we ought to be ashamed of putting that there. Sine diem is done for the day. Jesus says, carpe diem, seize the day, and it'll be sine diem. If you seize the day, it'll be a great day. There is nothing that God wants done that you and I can't do by the grace of God if it's his will for us. You know, I've had some experiences through my life that are good and some that are bad, as everybody has. But we were trying to set up a fun and a mission situation in another town. We cooked chicken. We had bake sales. We had yard sales. We raised money. We were trying to set up something very similar, but not near the scale of a Winton network. And I remember going to see a man about it, and I said, you know, we'd like for you to help us with this. And he said, well, that's good. I'm glad you want me to help you, but I'll save you a lot of trouble by telling you I'm not, okay? And so he was my friend, and he said he's not, so I never asked him again. And it got off to a little fledgling start. It's still not a great big thing. But after a while, he came back to the first Baptist preacher who was involved. A lot of times people go to the next preacher when the preacher that confronted him, they could wait and get another preacher. But he went to the first Baptist preacher and he took him a check. And he said, I had seen so many things just get started and stopped and started and stopped. He said, I wasn't willing to throw good money after bad. He said, but this thing seems to be going forward and I don't understand it. so it must be of God. What a great statement of faith. It seems to be going forward. I don't understand it, but it must be of God. Anything of God, I promise you, is not understandable from human points of view. But if it's of God, it won't die. If it's of God, it'll multiply, it'll thrive, it'll live. You and I are not always meant to be a seed. We were born descendants. Every person in the world descended from somebody. And if all they can write by my name or your name at the end is I was Bud and Ruth Cooper's descendant, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad I descended from them, but there's something wrong with me because I never became an ancestor. And an ancestor is not just somebody who has children. An ancestor is somebody who leaves this world better than they found it, who makes their mark, not in the comparison to another person, for it's not a competition, but what did God put you here to be, to become? Who are you supposed to be? We must take all our potential and die to ourselves. At some point, we have to stop inhaling and say, Lord, what do you want me to give my life to? How would you have me give my life? And we're coming up on the 4th of July next week. There are people who have given their life for you and for me. If you have the privilege of going over to Normandy, you can go to the American Cemetery there and see the unfulfilled youth. It's a sculpture. It shows a body emerging from a globe. But as you look at it closely, it's a beautiful body, but it's lifeless. And it says, we gave our today for your tomorrows. And every one of us sitting here had somebody give their today for our tomorrows. And tomorrow is today for us. Jesus is now in Jerusalem. He's within days of being crucified. But the world is going to find out something that they did not know. And that is that God can't be killed. They're going to dance at his tomb on Saturday and say they killed him. But all Jesus did was experience something he had never experienced before, which was death. But death cannot hold God. So he was right in the 10th chapter when he said, I don't understand it, but if I lay down my life, the Father will give it back to me. And he loves me because I lay down my life, and he gives it back because it's my life. You are the very essence of God's love in this world. There is nothing you can lay down that you will lose in this kingdom. Let us pray. Holy Father, we come into your life. Our purpose is not revealed in our birth. When we're born, we're potential. It's revealed only in our being born again into someone we've never been before for the sake of others and in obedience to our Lord Jesus, who calls us come and die that others might live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we turn to our closing hymn? And as we sing, Take Time to Be Holy, would you consider who you are becoming and who we should become? For we do this as brothers and sisters, not in competition, but in the unity of Christ. Would you stand for our closing hymn?
Thank you.
Lord, you are doing a new thing in our world. May we be a part of it by who we become in Jesus Christ. Amen.